Should all children have free meals?
Hello, and welcome to the Mark and Pete Show. After a campaign led by Marcus Rashford, the Manchester United footballer, earlier in the year, the government has changed its policy to allow 1.3 million children in England to claim free school meal vouchers during the summer holidays. But the government has ruled out extending free meals nationwide beyond term time, saying it has already given councils £63 million for families facing financial difficulties due to the pandemic restrictions, as well as increasing welfare support by £9.3 billion. Now, many people think that this is a good initiative, but doesn't go far enough. And in fact, in Scotland and Wales, the governments have extended free meals during school holidays until Easter 2021. Why not England? In fact, many people believe that a lot of our school children simply are not equipped when they actually go to school. Now, here's just a thought. The policies are quite simply undigestible. An empty plate means an empty mouth, and an empty stomach caused by empty minds with empty pockets or empty helping hands, fueling empty promises as well as empty hopes across empty schools and classrooms, driven by empty policies that are full of mistakes. Clergyman Pete, I ask you, if you can't feed your stomachs, how do you feed your mind?
Good question. Now, Businessman Mark, this is an issue for schooling and ends up being, therefore, an issue for the whole of society and going forward for the future of our working population, in that if people are not getting a good nutrition, not just eating something, but eating healthily, then, yes, they're not going to function well at school, and going forward, they're not going to be well enough educated to be able to take part in the workforce, which we need to be well educated. We need to, with the complexities of modern industry, we need people to be well educated. So, yeah, I don't think we can expect children to function well unless they're eating well. And that brings up a big question, of course, about what if you come from a broken home or there's some other reason why you're not eating well at home. You may well not get a good enough breakfast to start off your day. And what happens in the holidays when you're not going to
school? Absolutely.
People generally, if they're getting school meals, then aren't getting them in the holidays. Now, I think that this is a big issue. I think that breakfast is also an issue, and many schools do offer breakfast as well. A school very near me here, primary school, offers both breakfast and lunch if you want it. Now, that's the funding of that, of course, is in different ways. You know, some children have to pay, and some people don't, depending on their on how wealthy their parents are, but. This has become an issue, the underfunding of various parts of the school life, including things like feeding people, can be a problem because we need to have high-quality education. Now, I guess what we're talking about, though, however, when we're talking about feeding young people, is we're saying in the current situation, things have got worse because there's now not necessarily the regular going to school anyway. You could be sent home at any moment, any time, to spend time at home. And if that is an unsettled home, well, then suddenly there may be other problems, but you may well be going without food or at least good nutritious food. So there's no point sending the homework home or doing it over Zoom if the children aren't then able to eat well.
Well, I agree. And this is where I think it comes back to having a stopgap method, because what we're looking here is something which is a society issue, that perhaps we have to ask the question, why are more and more families in a situation where they can't feed their children, whether it be a lack of a breakfast or a good hearty evening meal? Now, we do know that this situation is growing more and more. We want to talk about the solutions here. So there's something actually interesting that actually harks back to an era that Clergyman Pete and I would probably remember, and I'm going to give it from a personal point of view, this is actually during the 1970s. This was prior to actually meeting Clergyman Pete. He wasn't a clergyman then. He was a snotty little schoolboy. But nevertheless...
As were we both, yes.
I was less snotty. But what I was going to say was this. I think there's some lessons that could be learned here. During the 1970s, there were a similar set of issues that were very similar. I appreciate the context was different in the 1970s, resources were different, and the country was all equally in a mess. There we go, very similar. But what happened was that schools identified that some children were not actually getting their school dinners. What they did do is that they put in a voucher scheme. Now, this was from my personal experience. What was happened was is that the parents were means tested by the schools, and everyone who could pay had to pay for their school ticket. Effectively, got rid of cash. You know, when you're those annoying situations where you're fiddling with bits of cash, children spill them all over the place, and they're not very good at it. So what they did was they had a ticket system. You bought your ticket at the beginning of the week, and you went to the school canteen at lunchtime, and nobody knew who it was who had those parents who paid for it or those who had given it to it because their parents could not pay for it. And it was a very simple scheme. It worked very well. Now, I do appreciate that here we were in a different situation. Some people can't get to a physical location because they're having to work remotely. But I do believe that what I think needs to happen is a scheme which puts in place for any child between the age of 5 or 16, 17 or 18 to be determined. All children, in my opinion, should have food for a good breakfast and also a hearty meal in the evening. And I believe it's not just for the working week. I also believe that that should be through the weekends. Mm-hmm. This is a stopgap. This is somehow to try and at least prevent people from not being able to concentrate in the classroom, whether that be virtual classroom or literal classroom. If you cannot have a good meal, you cannot possibly expect children to concentrate, and there will be issues. Everyone has seen that this has been reflected in results and performance. It's natural. But what I do think is also important is that I actually think that this scheme needs to go way beyond 2021. And I know that with the likes of certain countries like Wales and Scotland and Northern Ireland are putting in place, but I still don't think it goes far enough. Mm-hmm. I think it's for you can't suddenly expect a child to go all the way through the week and then not have food during the weekend. They're still going to be left hungry for those parents who are either neglecting their children or just simply cannot afford to give them the things that they need. And this also ties to the other thing, which I know is sort of associated with this, which is what about their clothing? What about other things which they need? But to me, not having food is fundamental to education in the sense that they need to be healthy, but they need to be healthy in mind and body.
Yes, no, I agree, businessman Mark, but I do think there's a better way, which you were alluding to it by saying, well, this is a stopgap. I think we need to reorder the way we do things in society. I do think the children need to be careful. It's not their fault if they're...
It's not the children's fault, of course,
Parents aren't able to feed them. However, we don't then do everything for them. You know, so there has to be a limit of what we provide. Just the basics, so, you know, enough food to eat. Just so they have some sort of nutritious meal. A better way to do it is from personal generosity or from local charities. Back in the day, back in the 19th century, there were friendly societies, they were called, and mutual societies, which people paid into. A mutual society was sort of like an investment group. You all paid in, and then the money accrued, any excess money was used, profits were used. Had to be used, it was written into their charter to be used for the benefit of the poor. A friendly society was even more local. It was it's sort of like today you might all say, let's all put in some money into a pot and we'll use it for a Christmas lunch. It's that sort of idea, but extended to helping people in society. And it was these principles of these friendly societies and mutual societies which were used as the basis for the welfare state that was set up. You know, Lloyd George started it, and then Churchill expanded it, and he had great plans for it, including the NHS, actually put in place by Labour Party, but planned by Churchill. All this sort of idea was based on the ideas of the mutual societies and the friendly societies. I think that sort of way of doing it would be better, in that payments into it are then voluntary and often local. And we're big fans of localism here on Mark and Pete, because then it's people who know the locality, may even know the children who are being fed, and vice versa. There's a relationship. So there's gratitude there, where which you don't get when there's state intervention. So I don't see this as a, as you've been saying, Mark, as a long-term solution. But children are going hungry now, so something needs to be done.
Exactly.
The sort of thing that that can be done is shown by, in the area where I live, there was a great Labour MP. Well, he's still around, called Frank Field. He's just not an MP anymore. And he's set up with others this group called Feeding Birkenhead. And it's a coalition of churches and other community groups which get together to provide emergency food for people, which includes feeding children in the holidays. And several churches around here, including one of the churches of which I'm vicar, supplies food for children in the holidays. So it is already done. And that's done, that's repeated around the country. That's what I happen to know about. So it is done to a limited extent. It's not big enough to reach everyone. There'd be large numbers of children who would miss out if we relied on that. But if those could be encouraged and built upon, then we won't be putting an extra tax burden on the country. And also, you'll be building relationships in community, which,
yes, you know,
that can't be a bad thing.
No, absolutely. And I think that one of the things we need to do also is really actually put this also in context. The reason we're talking about this is that this is a consequence of a society that is really sadly suffering from poor investment, poor policies. And it's really a reflection of the fact that we've not had a long-term strategy. Many MPs on all sides, whether they be Conservative or Labour or Liberal and many others, have called for the fact that what we now need is to come up with a long-term strategy, a plan to combat child food hunger. Child food hunger is really a consequence of the fact that people either don't have a job or they don't have prospects, or something is being neglected, something is going wrong. Sadly, the victims here are the children. And those children who are at the most vulnerable, because they're either still trying to find their way in society, they're still trying to learn their way to be prepared, and we're not preparing those children effectively enough. So to me, I see it as an emergency. I actually even say it's a crisis. Some people have used those terms as well, particularly in communities where it's most needed. And what I think we'd like to do on Market P is to call out to the listeners, if you are from a community that is suffering and seeing this face value, or maybe yourself, that if you know someone who's in this situation, we'd love to hear from you. So why not log on to markandpete.com and let us know your thoughts? We'd love to get you on the show, talk about it, and really hear from you what you're seeing. And more importantly, what do you think should be done? Well, this is a very emotive subject, we know, but why not join us again next time for more topical topics with Clergyman Pete and Businessman Mark.